beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands Avraham Avinu that he should move to Eretz Yisrael and live there. So one might think that this is only Hayroah Shah to Avraham Avinu, if that's the only pasuk you would have. So the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvos points out that we have psukim later in Chumash that tell us that the din applies to all of us. We all have an obligation to move to Eretz Yisrael and live there permanently, not just to visit for Yom Tovim, but to visit for the summer. The Rambam did not count this mitzvah in the Minyan HaMitzvah. So the Rambam counts what he considers are the 613 mitzvahs, the 248 mitzvahs asay, and the 365 mitzvahs loisase. So the Ramban deletes about 16 or 17 of the mitzvahs asay and about the same number of the loisase. He disagrees with the Rambam, so he has to replace them with another 16 or 17 mitzvahs asay and mitzvahs loisase. So he lists off at the end of the Minyan HaMitzvahs essay of the Rambam. So the Ramban lists off, as he's running along, he deletes certain mitzvahs of the Rambam, and then he gives you the hashmatas, the mitzvahs that he thinks the Rambam forgot to mention. So this is mitzvah dalet that the Ramban counts, a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. So the shayla is why the Rambam didn't count this mitzvah. How come the Rambam didn't include this mitzvah? So the Knesset HaGdolah is a likut on the tour, like the Beis Yosef is a likut. Yosef Kara wrote a likut on the tour. He collects all the Rishonim and all the Achronim up until his time. So the Knesset HaGdolah lived 150 years after Rabbi Yosef Kara, 200 years, I don't know. So he gives a further likut of all of the Achronim until his time. And then the Chidor wrote a further likut. The Birkei Yosef is a likut of all the Achronim after all the Rishonim and Achronim that they didn't have available at that time. So the Knesset HaGdolah quotes some Achronim want to say the reason why the Rambam didn't count the mitzvah living in Eretz Yisrael. Aitz and Mishnah, the end of Ksukas, the Rambam quotes all the dinim. The Rambam held that that's only a mitzvah midrabbanan. It's not a mitzvah midrabbanan. So that's why it doesn't belong in the listing of the minyan mitzvah. Very difficult. What do you mean a mitzvah midrabbanan? What about all the psukim and chumash? How can it be a mitzvah midrabbanan? How can anybody deny them? So the Avnei Nezer has a fantastic shtikel Torah. The Avnei Nezer is a Shadash Shuvas by Chassidus Rebbe, Sofer Shuvah Rebbe. He died around 100 years ago, 90 years ago. So he has a tshuva and chelak yeredeya in the order of the Shulchan Aruch. So when it has the dinim about the tshuvas and maisvus and so on, Ruchas Eretz Yisrael, so he has a tshuva. Is there a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael b'zman hazeh? And if there is, how come the Gedolei HaChassidus didn't move to Eretz Yisrael? The fact that they didn't go does not show that there's no mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael today. So he says, of course there's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. What is it to discuss? A mitzvah menater. How come the Rambam doesn't count it? So he gives a whole shtikel Torah, fantastic. He quotes from earlier Achrayim. The Rambam has a policy in the Sefer HaMitzvahs in Shorish Tes. When you have a kefal alav, when you have the Chumash repeats alav many times, so the Rambam says you only count it once in the Minyan HaMitzvah. So the Chumash repeats a mitzvah. The Gemara has a lashon, a kohen who doesn't duchen is over b'shalosh esen. He's in violation of three mitzvahs esen. Because it says, kol sarachas b'nei Yisrael, amor lahem. Then it says, v'samu shmi al b'nei Yisrael v'ani abarachim. So it says three times. Kol sarachas b'nei Yisrael, amor lahem, v'samu shmi. So the Rambam says, that just means it's repeated for emphasis. It doesn't mean that he counted three times in the minyan of mitzvahs. Or the Gemara says, one who doesn't wear tefillin is mevatel eight mitzvahs esen, because it says four times in the Chumash you should wear tefillin. It's tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh. Four times two is eight. So the Rambam says the two mitzvahs, tefillin shel yad, tefillin shel rosh, we count tefillin shel yad as one mitzvah and tefillin shel rosh as one mitzvah. You don't count each one as four mitzvahs. It's only repeated for emphasis. So that's the Rambam shita. So the Avnei Nezer has a Dvar Torah from early Rachrenim. He expands on the theme that whenever you have two mitzvahs, they're not actually a repeat. It's not the same thing written twice. But one mitzvah is in order to lead up to another mitzvah. So then it's self-understood that since one is leading up to the other, so that's also a kefal mitzvah. So you don't count it twice. So he says over here, the Rambam counts the mitzvah hachrem tachrimim. We should wipe out the Zayin Umas in Eretz Yisrael. So what do you visualize? We should wipe out, we should all make an army and go from Borough Park and Teaneck. We should go to Eretz Yisrael, wipe out the Zayin Umas, then move back to Borough Park and leave Eretz Yisrael without anybody living there. So it doesn't make any sense, obviously. Hachrim Tachrimim is, wipe them out in order that there should be a place for you to live there. So he says that that's one mitzvah that leads to another mitzvah. So the Rambam's opinion is that this is a kefila mitzvah. And he gives it the gemoras when the Rambam in Hilchas Binyan HaMishkan, why the Rambam didn't count several mitzvahs, because one mitzvah leads to the other. That's what he says. He says that the Rambam included the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael under the, it's self-understood, that that's the nature of the mitzvah of Hachrim Tachrim. The question is whether his klal is Zeis Gehalt or not. You got to figure out. The Rambam counts as two distinct mitzvahs in the beginning of Hilchas Ishus. He has one mitzvah, Lisa Isha Biksuba Vikidushin, it's a mitzvah to get married. Then there's another mitzvah, Piri Berivyu. So what's the nature of the mitzvah, Lisa Isha Biksuba Vikidushin? Piri Berivyu, we paskin is only on men, not on women. Machlaikas Hatanoim, in the Mishnah, in the end of Abol Yevimtoi, we paskin like the Chachamim that the pasuk says in Bereishis, "Kruvu melus oretz v'chibshua." So the Gemara says, "Ish darka lichbush and isha ain darka lichbush." You don't draft women into the army. The Israeli government does draft women into the army. So it's against the drasha satanoi. The assumption is that women don't serve in the army, so they're not kibshua by women. So since v'chibshua doesn't apply to women, so kruvu doesn't apply to women either. That's how we pass. Kruvu is only on men. The Shabbos, what about the mitzvah to get married? Are women mechuyif to get married? So from the Gemara would it appear that yes, the Gemara, the beginning of the second parak in Kedushin, talks about mitzvah bo yosim and b'shluchas and says huish mekadosh huish miskadoshes. Why does it say huish mekadosh bo b'shlucha huish miskadoshes bo b'shlucha? So the Gemara says bo b'shluchai mitzvah bo yosim and b'shlucha bo b'shlucha mitzvah bo yosim and b'shlucha. What do you mean mitzvah? There's no mitzvah b'chla. So the Ran poses the question: there is no mitzvah. So if one were to assume. One were to assume, according to the Rambam, that the mitzvah lisa isha b'ksuba v'kedushin, the mitzvah to get married, is a mitzvah on the women also. So then we understand the simple reading of the Gemara is that there is a mitzvah on women to get married. In other words, there are two different mitzvahs. One mitzvah, everybody should get married, whether or not they're able to have children, or whether or not they're interested in having children. Then there's another mitzvah that the men should have children. Yeah, but there's the Rambam in the Sefer Mitzvahs gives you a list at the end with the whole mitzvahs. Listing of the mitzvahs, I say, he has one paragraph where he's going to list off which mitzvahs the women are exempt from. So he gives you a whole list, number 5, number 10, number 20, number 30, he gives you a list which ones. So the two readings there, the two gears is whether he knocked out, whether he said the women are potter from the mitzvah of getting married. And they point out that he tells you how many there are. I forgot, he gives you a sachakol, some total, 35 mitzvahs or whatever. It gives you some total. So according to the full number that he gives you, you have to have the reading. The Girsa has to read that the women are potter from getting married. So Rambam seems to assume that the mitzvah to get married is just in order to lead up to Piri Berivyu. That's how it says in the Sefer Achinuch also. It's not a separate mitzvah. Separate mitzvah to get married and a separate mitzvah to have children. No, it's a Lisa Isha is in order to have children. That's why the women are exempt. So that's a shala. How come the Rambam counts it as two mitzvahs? If the premise of the Avnei Nezer is correct, you've got to look into that. Others say differently. Others say that many Achrayim say this idea that the reason why the Rambam didn't count, the Rambam also agrees a mitzvah to live in Eretz is a mitzvah in our Torah. How come he didn't count it as a separate mitzvah? The answer is not a separate mitzvah. It enhances each one of the 613 mitzvahs. When a person puts on tefillin in Eretz Yisrael, it's a bigger mitzvah. When a person observes Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpach, it's a bigger mitzvah. To live in Eretz Yisrael is not a separate mitzvah. To live in Eretz Yisrael means your observance of all the mitzvahs Sater will be more bishlei musam. That's what the Ramban says on Chumash. The Yikar Mokum for Shmiras Kol HaMitzvahs is in Eretz Yisrael. Others say differently that it's part of a different mitzvah of Avoy Sidbok. Other Achrayim talk about it. There's a mitzvah of Avoy Sidbok. We should come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So how can a person come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the Gemara asks, what does it mean, Avoy Sidbok? So the Gemara understands what it means. He says, Dovik b'Talmid HaChachamim. What should come close to Talmid HaChachamim? Talmid HaChachamim, usually we assume, are going to be wonderful people. Unfortunately, it's not necessarily so in all generations and all places. Talmid HaChacham, we assume, are wonderful people. And when you look at the Talmid HaChacham, you see right away a real Tzelem Elokim. You see the Shechina Shoira on this person. So we should be Hidavik, but Talmid HaChacham, if we'll be close to Talmid HaChacham, so the midas of Elukus that the Talmud Chacham has and shows will rub off on us. That's how the Gemara understands. David b'Tabin Chacham. Is there any other way to fulfill a Vaisid book? So that's why many Achranim say, yeah, you live in Eretz Yisrael, because the Chazal say that there's a greater degree of Hashgacha Pratis in Eretz Yisrael than there is all over the world. We believe not only Hashgacha Klolis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is interested in the elephants in general, is interested in the fish in general, and he's interested in the world in general. We believe that as far as human beings are concerned, there is Hashgacha Pratis. As far as the behemoths are concerned, as far as leaves are concerned on a tree, that's questionable. The Rambam writes that there's no Hashgacha Pratis on behemoths. And he interprets the Pasuk. Where's the Pasuk in Navi? Batas Adam Kidgei Hayam. Did the Rabbanu Shlomo make human beings like the fish? So the Rambam interprets human beings are not like the fish. It's B'tmiya, Batas Adam Kidgei Hayam. On the fish, there is no Hashgacha Pratis. There's only Hashgacha Klalis. But on human beings, there's a Hashgacha Pratis in each and every individual person. That's the Rambam and the Moreh Nevuchim assumes, that there's only Hashgacha Pratis by human beings, but not by Balichah. And others, Chassidish Svarim, they claim that there's Hashgacha Pratis on every leaf. When a leaf falls down from a tree, how come that leaf fell down, the other leaf didn't fall down, and Rabbanu Shlomo decided that that leaf should fall down? Not like the Rambam. It's a chiddush to say that there's hashgacha pratis on every individual person. That's what we believe in. That's chav yonish. There's hashgacha pratis on every person. But to say there's hashgacha pratis on behemoths and on leaves, the Rambam thinks that that's not correct. Anyway, the Gemara says we assume not all people have the same degree of hashgacha pratis. The Rambam has a whole essay about that also in Moreh Nevuchim. We believe that human beings, the closer one is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the more Hashgacha Pratis there will be. Karev Hashem L'chol Kairav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is closer to those who want to be close to Him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ragli Chassidov Yishmar, those who are close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will sometimes give them a Hatzolah in an unusual fashion. And in the reverse, in the opposite direction also, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Medaktikim Sadikov Kechut HaSaira. If a big tzaddik does an avera, Moshe Rabbeinu was punished that he wasn't allowed to enter Eretz Yisrael. So no one knows Arayam Hazeh exactly what was the avera of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rachaim and Chumash has 10 different suggestions given by the earlier Rishonim, by the earlier Meforshim on Chumash. No one knows what the avera was, but we assume whatever the avera was, if one of us would have done it, it wouldn't have been an avera. No one can figure out what did he do that was wrong. Moshe Rabbeinu, his madregas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu medaktik mitzaydikav kuchut asayra, there's more hashgacha pratis letabel namutav, there's more hashgacha pratis rag lechassidav yishmar, and there's more hashgacha pratis, he's going to be punished for any slight little sneeze that he does that's improper, even though for another person he wouldn't have been punished. So we assume that the hashgacha pratis is not spread out evenly among all people. The Rambam has that klal based on the Rambam Moreh Nevuchim has the klal based on Pesukim in Tanakh that the closer one is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the more Hashgacha Pratis there is. So the same is true regarding Mekoymas. The degree of Hashgacha Pratis is greater in Eretz Yisrael than it is in Chutz La'aretz. That's how the pasuk says in Chumash. Eini Hashem Elokecha Bo Mereishis Hashana Varach Rishona. The Gemara in the first parak in Tainus quotes that pasuk, and the Gemara elaborates on it. The main Hashgacha Pratis is in Eretz Yisrael. In the Chutz Lords, there's to a lesser degree, there's Hashgacha Pratis. The Gemara has such a comment in the end of Ksubis when the Mishnah says the importance of living in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says that Kol Ador Be'Eretz Yisrael Kilu Yesh Lo Alaka V'Kol Ador B'Chutz Lords Kilu Ein Lo Alaka. And the Gemara quotes the Pasuk that David HaMelech had to run away from Eretz Yisrael, and he says Ki Gershuni Hayom Yistapech who told him to worship Avodah Zarah? He had to run for his life, so he had to run away from Eretz Yisrael. That's the equivalent of Lech Avod Elohim Acher. One who lives in Eretz Yisrael kilo yesh lo Eloah, and one who lives in Chutz Lartz kilo ein lo. Means that there's more Hashgacha Pratis in Eretz Yisrael. So that's what some Achrayim say, that the reason why the Rambam didn't count the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael is because it's part of the mitzvah of Oisidbok. We should try to become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So one who lives in Eretz Yisrael is considered, he has more Hashgacha Pratis, so he's closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the Pashtus is, there certainly is a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. It's very difficult to say even that it's a mitzvah midrabbanan. living in Chutz Loretz, the Jewish people suffered. There were all these pogroms, and then there's the Shoah. There's more than everything altogether. The Shoah was more than everything times a thousand, times a million. It's unbelievable. But there were always pogroms. But leaving out the pogroms, the Jews had it pretty good when they lived in Chutz Loretz. They were always doing very well business-wise, and they always got ahead in class, and they always became doctors and engineers, and they always ran the country, and they were always the secretary of the treasury, and they were advisors to the king, advisors to the president. So Jews always did very well. That's what the Gemara talks about, the concept of Golos HaShchina. That the Gemara has psukim in Tanakh, different psukim in Tanakh, that when the Baruch Shalom sent the Jewish people into Golos, so he went along with us into the Golos. What does it mean, Golos HaShchina? So the simple pshat means is, the Baruch Shalom punished us because but he sent us into Golos, but he's holding our hand, and he helps us out. And generally speaking, we did very well. Most of the years in the Golos, the Jewish people did very well. We had divine protection. The Shekhinah was with us all along. And this idea of Golos HaShekhinah, the Chidor quotes from the Kabbalim, that this is based on the Klalim Maseches Makis. In Elohein HaGoylin, it says when a person kills B'shegik, he has to run away to the Ori Miklot. It says, V'nos elachas min horim ho'el v'choy. You should run away to the Ori Miklot v'choy. And you should remain alive. What do you mean? The Goel Adam won't be able to kill him there. V'choy. So the Gemara understands something much more. V'choy means he should enjoy himself. The Ori Miklot didn't just have 150 people who killed B'shegik, who were driving and they ran someone over. They killed someone accidentally. No, it was a whole city. And they had an opera there, and they had movies, and they had a shopping mall, and they had drugstores, and they had everything. They had normal people there living there also, not just, what are you going to do when the Kangodal dies, everybody goes home, so the whole city is going to disappear. No, there was a regular city, and then whoever killed B'shegik, so they also came there. The Gemara said it shouldn't be too big a metropolis. It's going to be way like New York City. Then the Goel Adam may sneak in. He won't have any control. The Goel Adam may sneak in and he may kill the Eretz, which he's not allowed to do. The Gemara says it shouldn't be too big, but the Gemara says it shouldn't be too small, or the Eretz Bishkoga won't enjoy it there. It says Bachoy. Bachoy means he should have a pleasant stay while he's there in the Ori Miklot. So the Gemara says, as a chelik of the din, Bachoy is Talmud Shagola Maglin L'Rabba Yinoi. If a person, the Rambam explains the Gemara, if a person enjoys learning, so now let him go to the Ori Miklot and listen to the Shiur online. Yeah, it's going to be tomorrow morning. It'll be on YU website. But years ago, they didn't have a website. YU didn't have a website. So how is the Goel Adam, how is the murderer going to be able to listen to a Shiur? So the Gemara says, Talmud Shagola, Maglin L'Rabba Yimon. The Rebbe is Muchiv to go give a Shiur over there. The Rebbe has 30 students over here. It's more important, he has to cater to the students over here. But once in a while, he has to go there also to give a shiur to the Talmud who's in Dori Miklot. And the Rambam, when he quotes the Halacha, and Hilchos Ratzeach HaShmiras Nefesh, in that Golos, he says, because the life of a person who enjoys learning is not really, he doesn't enjoy living unless he hears a shiur. Unless he can learn on his own. But if he's a Talmud, it means he's unable to learn on his own. So he doesn't really enjoy living if he's not going to have the learning that he's used to. So the Chidor quotes from the Mekubalim that's why there's a Golos HaShchina, that the Ribbono Shel sent us into Golos, but he follows his rules and regulations. When he sends someone into Golos, it has to be v'choy, it has to be pleasant. So most of the time in the Golos, it was pretty pleasant. Here and there were pogroms, but looking through the history of all the Golos, leaving out all the pogroms, leaving out the Shoah, the life in the Golos was pleasant. The Jews generally did very well. So the Ribbono Shel is holding our hand and taking care of us that we should do very well. So how, let's say the Rebbe has to accommodate the Talmud who's in the Ori Miklot. He has to come every week, whatever, and give a shiur, call him up on the phone, and give him a shiur. He has to arrange somehow that the Talmud should hear a shiur. What happens after the Kohen Gadol dies? So they announce in all the newspapers, Kohen Gadol died, so all the Horeg Bishkoga can come back home. This guy likes it so much over there. He has the theater, and he has the museums. They made such a nice Ori Miklot. Let's say he doesn't have a wife and children living somewhere else. So they all moved here. The wife and the children, they all moved to the Ori Miklot. He enjoys it. He's making a good living over there. Machta Parnasa. So he wants to stay in the Ori Miklot, and he wants the Rebbe to continue coming to Shir. So the Rebbe is Muchiv to go give a Shir after the Kohen Gadol dies. No. After the Kohen Gadol dies, so he doesn't have to stay, the Ritzach doesn't have to stay in the Ori Miklot anymore. The requirement of Choy is only calls man that the Ratzeach is not allowed to go back to his normal home. But once he's allowed to go back, they'll let him move back to Yerushalayim, and I'll give the shiur in Yerushalayim, and he'll listen like everybody else. The same over here, the Rabbanu Shalom, the Shechina is begolus. There's a golus HaShechina, the Rabbanu Shalom is going to be with us, calls man that he doesn't let us come back to Eretz Yisrael. But if he makes a Medina in 1948, then he announces, Kol Difan Yesu Yechel, whoever wants should come back to Eretz Yisrael, whoever wants to come back, whoever wants can come back. So the Rabbanu Shalom is still going to hold our hands, he's still going to take care of us in Chutz Lartz. Maybe not. I hope, yeah, but maybe not. Who says that he's gonna stay in Golis until we make up our minds that we're going to move to Eretz Yisrael? Are they going to stay with us in Golis until we have the ability to move to Eretz Yisrael? Once we have the ability to go back, it's like after the Misa Sakai in Golis, and the Stam of the Rebbe is not mechuyev to continue to give the Shiur Amen. Anyway, it's an important mitzvah, the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara has a lashon, it's preferable to live in Eretz Yisrael, b'ir sheruba nochrim, rather than to live in Chutz Lars, b'ir sheruba Yisrael. But it doesn't mean, people make a mistake, it doesn't mean that the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael is more important than all the other mitzvahs in the Torah. It doesn't mean you should live in a city where they're all goyim and not observe the mitzvahs. No. If that's the alternative, to live in Chutz Lars to observe all the mitzvahs, or to live in Eretz Yisrael to observe the one mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, and to forgo all the other mitzvahs. So that's not an alternative. That's ridiculous. It means a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, even in Yir Sheruba Akum, and it's uncomfortable, it's a little uncomfortable, it's still preferable, Bamed Vamamorim, if the person will be able to continue observing mitzvahs. It's very unfortunate. Many people who move to Eretz Yisrael grow spiritually. That's the way it's supposed to be. Depends what neighborhood you move into. So there are many neighborhoods. There's a Shir Daf Yomin, there's a Yerushalmi Yomis, and a Mishnah Yomis, and Rabbi Abad Yosek is a weekly Shir, and this one, and the other one, the other one. There's so much going on. There aren't enough hours in the week to attend all the Shirim. It's impossible to attend all the Shirim there. So many people grow spiritually, and it's wonderful. That's the real fulfillment of the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. And other people, they're so crazy about Aliyah and about Zionism, they go, they live in Eretz Yisrael, and they forget all about Shabbos and Kashrus and everything else. They're no longer medactic. They're in Eretz Yisrael. What do you mean? In Eretz Yisrael, they also have treif for food. They have non-kosher food in Eretz Yisrael, too. You have to be careful to make sure that you're eating kosher. They have chilul Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael also. They have all our areas, they have more preachers than we have in America. They have more preachers in Gilead Arise. They have more in Eretz Yisrael than they have in America. So a person should only go to Eretz Yisrael. He has to pick the right community. Shouldn't fall in. Rashi comments, Lech lecho, l'taivoscho lehano oscho. The mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael is only if he'll be able to make a living. It says, Vahiro boretz, Vahirid Avram Mitzrayim alogo sham epnei harov. If there's a famine, if you go to Eretz Yisrael can't make a parnosa, then there's no mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. There's no mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael off of charity, on welfare. The mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael is if it's going to be under normal conditions. I tell a story. I was once going to Eretz Yisrael by plane. I was waiting in the airport. Everybody's waiting on the plane in Los Angeles. So there was a fellow walking up and down the aisles. He looked very familiar. I remember him from the yeshiva. And then as he passed by me, so he stopped and he says, Hi, Rabbi Shalom Aleichem. I said, You look familiar. Tells me his name. Yeah, he learned the Mashir around 35 years ago. He learned the Mashiach. So I said, I asked him, what, he's wearing jeans and sneakers without any socks. So I asked him, what do you do for a living? So he says he was a doctor, he's married, has three children, he was a doctor, this Meister was 20 years ago. So he says he's a doctor, and he used to live in Los Angeles, he made $2 million a year. I don't know, there aren't too many doctors that make $2 million a year. And then he says, now he moved to Eretz Yisrael with his family, and he lives in Savion, a very poor neighborhood. Lives in Savion, and he only makes $500,000 a year. And his wife just can't get used to living in poverty. So he's going to come back to America. He's moving back to America in order to make a living. I felt so bad for him. I was going to give him a $10 donation. He should be able to buy a pair of socks. He's going with sneakers without any socks, with the jeans. If he can make $500,000, that's within reason. If the person is not, if the person mom is not making a living, it's not happy there. So then there's no mitzvah to suffer in Eretz Yisrael. mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael is only if it's reasonable. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Asar in the Sianis Nisnasa Avram Avinu Biyamad Bekulam. Avram Avinu experienced 10 different difficulties. So the biggest one was the Akedah. But one of the Nisyanis was Vahira Baritz. So what exactly was the Nisayan over here? So it's usually assumed that Nisayan was HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him go to Eretz Yisrael and everything's going to be wonderful. When it comes to Eretz Yisrael, there's no food to eat. So you had to go to Mitzrayim. That's the Pashup Shah. The Ramban says that he failed this Nisayan. How did Ramban read the Mishnah? Mishnah says, Aravinu is Nasad Asar Nisyanis, and he succeeded in all of them, not that he failed. Yeah. Some crackpot printed an essay years ago that Aravinu, the Nisayan of the Akedah, was to see if he's going to understand on his own that you're not allowed to listen to God when he tells you to kill a human being, or he's going to make a mistake. And he made a mistake, and he failed the Nisayan of the Akedah. And he went and he was about to kill his son, and God said, you idiot. You're not supposed to listen to me if I tell you to do something that's absolutely unreasonable. That's not our tradition. Maybe in some other religion they have such an interpretation. In our tradition, we assume you have to listen to God, even if he tells you to kill somebody. We always pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The schus of the Akedah should be, that was the schus, Omad Bekulam. He succeeded. So the Ramban is also difficult. The Ramban says over here, I think in Rabbi Shavel's edition of the Ramban, he points out that there's a line in the Zohar that says like that. Otherwise, all the Mefarshim wonder, what is the Ramban talking about? He says, the Nisayan was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to go to Eretz Yisrael, and he should have stayed there even through the Rav. He wouldn't have died. And Avraham Avinu didn't have the proper, the high degree of bitachon that he should have had. Usually the din is, whenever there's a famine in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says in Bava Basra, the Rambam quotes in Hilchos Malachim, when the Rambam Hilchos Malachim quotes all the dinim of living in Eretz Yisrael. So he quotes the din, if there's a famine and there's no food to eat, so you're allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. But Avraham Avinu should have stayed. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Lech Lecha Mi'artzecha, go to Eretz Yisrael, everything will be fine. So the Ramban claims, apparently based on his Zohar, the Ramban doesn't say it's a Zohar. Ramban writes on his own. So he says, Avraham Avinu failed this Nisoyin. So how does he read the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos? That's assumed to be one of the 10 Nisyanis, but he wrote Baritz. According to Ramban, he failed the test. Pashtus is like Rashi learns. The Nisayan was that Rabbeinu Shlom just told him to go to Eretz Yisrael and everything's going to be fine. And then he sees it didn't work out. So he didn't give up his faith in God. He returned to Eretz Yisrael after the famine was over. That's the Pashup Shah. But that is the rule. The mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael is only if it's within reason. Let's say a person can't find a shidduch. There are many single girls in Eretz Yisrael, but he doesn't like any of them. He has his heart set that he wants to marry this girl of Chutzlaritz. So then the Gemara says that Lisa Yisha, you're allowed to a little matur. There's so many yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael. He Davke wants to learn in a Torah center of the world, Yeshiva University, or Lakewood. You have so many Israelis that come to learn in Lakewood. Lakewood, Eretz Yisrael, fully yeshivas. No, he has a heart set. He wants to learn in yeshiva. There are 5,000 people. Okay, there's no place in the world that has 5,000 people. Only Lakewood. So the Gemara says that Lul Matur Belisa Isha is Muta. Even though there's a Machlekes Hatana and Mipaskin, even though there are so many other yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, there's so many girls in Eretz Yisrael, he has his heart set, he wants Davkit to learn in the Torah center of the world, the center for the Jewish future, whatever. So the Gemara says it's Muta to leave Eretz Yisrael because he's going to be unhappy then. Mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael is only if it's going to be like Tayvoscha Lahanoscha. He's not going to be happy, this Takenu Mitzvah. The Baruch Shalom promises Avraham Avinu Ve'eschol Agoy Godol V'nivruchu B'chol Kol Mishpachoyso Adoma. He tells Avraham Avinu that the descendants, his descendants, will become a Goy Godol, a big nation. And the Baruch Shalom refers to all the other nations of the world whom we refer to as Goy, and he calls them Mishpachoyso Adoma. The Pashtus is that Al Pidin, there's a difference, that the Jewish nation is called a Goy. Goy is from the word Giviyah. Giviyah means a body. One body, one person. Gibiyah means a body. Gimel, Vav, Yud, Yud. Gibiyah means death. Vayigva, Vayomas. And Gibiyah also means a body. Gimel, Vav, Yud, Yud, Hey is a body. So Goy means that we treat the whole Jewish people as one body. The other peoples of the world are not, we refer to them as Goyim, but that's really a Loshon Mushal. They're really not Goyim. We're the only Goy in the world. The others are really, strictly speaking, Mishpachos Adoma. The Gemara says, how do you determine whether any given non-Jew is a Frenchman or an Italian? What nationality? So the Ma'an Afkamina, what Halacha recognizes the French nationality, the Italian nationality does make an Afkamina. How do you determine whether any given non-Jew is a Chiti, Amori, Apis, Ailusiv, Agigoshi, Mitzri, Adoimi, the Halacha, Amaleki? How do you determine? So the Gemara says, Blumas Halacha Achar Azachar. It has to be Ben Achar Ben Achar Ben, a descendant from the original group. And if he's not Ben Achar Ben, then not. That's based on the Pasuk, Mishpachosim Leveis Avoisim, the Rishonim say. Based on the Pasuk in the beginning of Chumash Bamidbar, Mishpachosim Leveis Avoisim, Mishpacha Sav Kuri Mishpacha, Mishpacha Seim Eine Kuri Mishpacha. So the concept of a nationality, Al Pi Halacha, we do recognize various nationalities, Zayin Rumis, and Mitzri Ve'adami, and Amoine Mayovi, and Amaleki. The Halacha does recognize the French nationality, the Italian, and the Irish. These are not halachically recognized as nationalities. But the others are recognized by the Torah's nationalities, so it's not really a goy, it's really a mishpacha. That's why Halacha Achar Azachar, because L'mishpachosim L'beis Avoisim. Whereas with respect to determining whether someone is a Jew, if you have a mixed marriage, so the Gemara has a three-way machlekes satanoim, and no one ever said it should depend on the father. There's one opinion in the Gemara that you have to have, both parents have to be Jewish. One opinion in the Gemara, like the Reform, they just thought they discovered America. One opinion in the Tanoim was outvoted 2,000 years ago. There's one opinion in the Tanoim that either the father or the mother, the child is Jewish, whether the father or the mother is Jewish. And the accepted opinion is what it says in the Mishnah, it all depends on the mother. So how come there are only three shitas? Why isn't there there should have been a fourth shita, we should have passed like the fourth shita. It all depends on the father. Just like Bulumas Allah Khachar Azachar, it all depends on the father, because the Mishpachosim Leveis Avoisim. So let it be the same by the Jewish people as well. So the answer, it can't be the same. We recognize an institution of Gerus. A non-Jew can convert and can they become Jewish. Neither his father nor his mother are Jewish. How is he Jewish? He's not a mishpacha of the Jewish people. How can't become a mishpacha. So the answer is, he joins the nation of the Jewish people. He joins the goy. So when we establish that the children are Jewish, it's not because the child belongs to the mishpacha sayahudin. He doesn't have to, one can be Jewish without belonging to the mishpacha. The crucial point is, does he belong to the nation of the Jewish people? Is he part of Amis or is part of the Goy? That's what the Rebbeinu Shlomo says. I'm going to make something new for you that doesn't exist for the other nations of the world. I'll make you into a nation. The other ones are Mishpachos V'adam. The others are Mishpachos. And by Yisrael, because it's a different thing, it's a Goy, so that's why all the Tanaim assume that it's not going to be governed with the rule of the Mishpachos V'adam, Mishpachos V'adam, Mishpachos V'adam. They darshan based on psukim. So one Tana says it depends on both parents being Jewish. One Tana says it's either the father or the mother can accomplish that the children should be Jewish. And the accepted opinion, the way he says in the Stam Mishnah, is it all depends on the mother. That is a problem. He says shalei asani goy. That's a Yiddishism, really. So the word Gedolim who the Chafetz Chaim used to say Shalei Asani Nochri. Now the Gedolim also wrote like that. You should really say Shalei Asani Nochri. You shouldn't say Shalei Asani Goy. It's a difficult Nusach, right? We assume in Shulchan Aruch, the Rama assumes in Shulchan Aruch, that the Nusach HaTfilah, Nusach HaBrachas, should be in a biblical Hebrew. So we have, it does appear in Tanakh, Goyehu Arotz is Goyim. But in Tanakh, it never says anywhere that only the non-Jews are going, the Jews are not going. No, that's a Yiddishism already. That's a Yiddishism. We refer to the non-Jew, we refer to the Nochmas Goyim. That's not a biblical Hebrew. That's Yiddish, or even in Talmudic language, the Gemara sometimes says Goyim. That means non-Jews, but that's in Gemara language. But that's not in the biblical Hebrew. So that's why they worked the Elam who felt that that's not the proper Nisal. Shouldn't say Shalos Ani Goyim. Taka difference. Goy means that the whole Jewish people is considered one body, Miloshim Gviyah, by the non-Jew, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh B'Zeh. And if one Jew does an Aveira, so the Goyim say, they judge on all the Jews like that. All the Jews, they're all Ganavim. All the Jews are like this. If a non-Jew does an Aveira, if one Frenchman robs a bank, so they say, all the French are Ganavim. all the Italians are ganav. You don't say it like that because by the umas ha'olam it's a mishpacha. Mishpacha means they're separate individual people who have a relationship with each other, a certain kind of a relationship. A goy means that it's one gviyah. The stock is correct. The way the whole Jewish people is judged based on one person, and by the umas ha'olam they wouldn't judge like that. It's double standard, but it's correct api halacha because the whole Jewish people is considered one goy. We have a rule called yisol ha'rebim zeh b'zeh. We are considered one gviyah, one goy. I think the Radak has a dictionary, has a michlol on Tanakh, a dictionary on biblical Hebrew. So I think he writes like that, that the word goy comes miloshen giviyah, from loshen abadi. Giviyah to die is gimel vav yud ayin hay, as an ayin. Giviyah as a body is gimel vav yud hay. It's a different word, pronounced the same way, but it's a different word. The pasuk says that Avraham Avinu moved to Eretz Yisrael, and he had adopted his nephew Lot. The Ohr HaChaim claims that he wasn't supposed to bring Lot with him. When the Baruch Shalom said Lech Lecha, so why did he say Lech Lecha? So Rashi quotes the Medrash L'Tevoscha L'Hanoscha. The second Lecha is L'Tevoscha L'Hanoscha. Move to Eretz Yisrael, it'll be good. If it's not going to be good, there's no mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. It'll be good. So the Ohr HaChaim claims that Lech Lecha means go by yourself, and Avraham Avinu misunderstood it. He was supposed to go by himself. That's why the pasuk says later that Lot was a wealthy man and he had a lot of shepherds. By Hirid Bein Roy Mikne Avraham Bein Roy Mikne Lot, there was a dispute, and then they decided they're going to split up. By Yisa Lot Mikedem. And then it says, if the Lot left, Bashem Amar al Avram Acharehi poured Lot miyimo, Sonei Necharei min amok mishratosh Asherato Shom Tzafon Vanegma Vakedma Vayoma is kol horetz Asherato Roy Lochetanel Azarcha Acha Adoy Lom Has Vesamti Azarcha Kafar Horetz, etc. So the Chaim on that Pasuk points out he wasn't supposed to take Lot with him. So the Baruch Shalom, he misunderstood the Tzivui. Lech Lecha means go by yourself. But he had Rachmanis on his nephew, the Yosef. So he took him along, schlepped him along. Only until after Lot disappeared from the scene, Lot decided to go with Zdom and Amora to make more money over there. But Yar is called Kikar Hayadein. He's going to get rich over there. Achri Hipparit Lot Bimah. Then the Rabban Shalom said, okay, now I'm going to continue the Nevuah that I started with Yom Chutz Loretz. This is the land that I promised to give you and your descendants and so on. That was the Shaila when in Europe when they started the Zionist movement. So many of the Zionists, the majority of the Zionists were anti-religious people, and they wanted to establish a Jewish Medina to replace the religion. They did whatever they could to see to it that to wipe out the whole religion. So that's why many religious Jews were opposed to joining with them. So the Staka Shaila did. You're not supposed to go together with those who don't belong in Eretz Yisrael. So that was a shaila, whether the truth of the matter should have been that the religious Jews should have all gone. They should have been the majority. They would have controlled everything. Okay. So maybe they're looking back in retrospect. Maybe they did wrong. Maybe they should have all gone. But the shaila was those who did go with them. Did they do right? So Rav Soloveitchik gave drushes years ago that are published. The drushes that he gave for the Mizrahi. He thought that at that time they had no choice and they had to go with it. But that's what the others felt like this Aracha. You're not supposed to build up Eretz Yisrael together with anti-religious people. Not some non-observant, anti-religious people. The whole Kavana of establishing the Medina was in order to replace the religion. So that was a shame. The Pasuk says that Avraham Avinu moves to Eretz Yisrael with everything that he has, with HaNefesh, Asher Asu Bechoron. Very strange expression. Hanefesh Asher Asu Bechoron. So Rashi quotes the famous Medrash. The Pasha Pshat Pap means all the cattle. He had a lot of behemoths. Asher Asu that he purchased, that he acquired when he lived in Choron and Chutz Lartz. So Rashi quotes the famous Medrash. Hanefesh Asher also refers to the Gerim that Avraham Avinu was Megayer. Avraham Avinu hoy Megayeres or Anoshim, Sora Megayeres es Anoshim. So why do you use the verb Asher Osu? nefesh asher asa b'choron. Amal aleim hakasav kilo asa'o. Rashi said, Pshuta shal mikra goes on the payments. It goes on the avodah meshvachas that they purchased. But the Medrash has this additional level of interpretation. It refers to the ger masher asu. What kind of expression asher asu? So the Medrash says if all the world's biggest scientists will join together, they won't be able to create an animal, they won't be able to create an elephant, they won't be able to create even a tiny little cockroach. They can't create a balchai. And here, if a bezlin is megayir an anjou, is considered gershon is gar katan shana, the adam is considered as if they created a person. And nefesh asher asa b'charban is considered as if Avraham Avinu, who had converted all of these people, as if he had created them. Because they get a new soul. The Jewish neshama is different from the non-Jewish neshama. It's made from different material, comes from a different place, different stuff. So when a non-Jew converts, so his neshama is replaced with a different neshama. So that's called hanefesh asher asa b'chora. So the Baruch Shel Olam shows them all the veritzel vayera Hashem al Avram zarecha atena soretz hazos. He promises Avraham Avinu, number one, he's going to have children. That was Chiddush number one. Because in the end of Parshas Noach, it says that Sarai couldn't have any children. Sarai, Vati Sarai Akara, Ein Lo Vomot. And the same thing was by Rivka and Rachel. They couldn't have any children. And the Gemara has tradition that Avram was also an Akar. Avram and Yitzchak. Everybody was, the B'derech HaTeva, the Jewish people shouldn't exist. The whole Jewish people is Lamaila Men HaTeva. The whole existence of the Jewish people is Malam and Atev. We usually say that the existence of the Jewish people, the surviving through all of the pogroms and surviving through all of the persecutions, that's Lamailam and Atev. But the Marami Prak points out, no, the whole Jewish people is Malam and Atev. But Derech HaTeva, we shouldn't have existed. Because the Ovis and the Imah is that we're all Akorim and Akoris. So we shouldn't have come into existence at all. So the whole Klali Sol is Lamailam and Atev. That the pasuk in today said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes Avraham Avinu out of his tent. Vayotze osa hachutza, he doesn't go out of your tent. And he tells him, Svar kachav imetucha lispa ko yezarecha. That the Jewish people will be so, we will have so many children, it'll be like the stars in the sky, we won't be able to count it. So the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation on the pasuk, Vayotze. Also, hachutza, the simple pshat is that he took Avraham Avinu out of his tent outside and he said, look at the stars. So the Gemara has another interpretation. That Avraham Avinu knew that everything in the world is a derech hateva. That's what the Gemara calls shlitas hakachav v'hamazolos. If you know how to look in the stars, so you can figure out what's in store with derech hateva. What's in store as far as nations are concerned, what's in store in the history of the world, in the history of any individual person, what's going to be B'derech HaTev? And the Ribbono Shel Olam says, Ein Mazel LeYisrael. He tells Avraham Avinu that the Jewish people is Lamaila Men HaTev. We're not Tachas Shlitas HaKachovim VaHamazovos. The Ramban HaChumash emphasizes this. There's a whole sugi in the Gemara, the end of Masechet Shabbos. Ein Mazel LeYisrael. That the Jewish history for individuals and for the whole Jewish people is Lamaila Men HaTev. So the Gemara understands that that's what it means, but an additional level of interpretation. That he's stepping out from the whole Derech HaTeva, from the Olam HaTeva. The descendants of Avraham Avinu, the Jewish people, is in Gansan Lamaila Men HaTeva. The Mishnah in the beginning of Rosh Hashanah records a practice that was very widespread. They used to, in official documents, the government always used to be makbid, the Goyish governments used to be makbid, that you should write how many years it is since Hakamas HaMedina. We write how many years it is since Bryas HaOlam, but that's a modern invention. The Jews didn't always count the Bryas HaOlam. That's why it's a little questionable whether the number Tavshin Samach Ches is really accurate. Palamor holds that that the Baisheni, the Gemara says, Baisheni lasted for 420 years. Baisrishon lasted for 410 years. Baisheni lasted 420 years. So the Gemara is, that's the beginning of Rosh Hashanah. So the Cheshbon that the Baisheni lasted 420 years is based on the assumption that all of the Persian kings who are mentioned in Tanakh are all the same person. He has 10 different names. So the Balamar says, what are you talking about? We all know from the Goyish history books, these were 10 different kings. They were Bezeh, Hazeh, Hazeh, Hazeh. So he says, Baisheni was way longer than 420 years. That's what the Goyish historians claim like that. The Rabbi who learned Bacharusa with the Balamar has a Hasagan, I say, Apikeres. Chelagan, the Gemara says that 420 years, Gemara says they're all the same person. What do you mean? You're relying on the Goyish history books, they don't know what they're talking about. That's an ongoing debate. Balamar thinks that the Gemara is wrong in the history, that it was way more than 420 years. And the Rabbi thinks that the Gemara is right. It's a Shailam. How do I get involved in this? I forgot what I started to say. How do you write? Yes. So now the common practice is that we write Lebriya Sova. So it's a little questionable whether it's accurate. That's why we write Lemin Yishonim Onim Kan. We write it's Tavshin Stamachas Lebriya Sova according to the calculation that we make. So even if it's incorrect, so that's how we write. So by the Umma Salem, they write the year 2007. So what's that? That's the Leidas Osahuish? So that's a different minion. Okay. That's how many Gdolim held that it's not proper. It's a Shishpek Fen Avadizor to count since the Leidas Osahuish. So, but the practice years ago used to be that they would write in documents how many years it is since Hakamas HaMedina. So and if the government is Makbid, let's say you write a get in America, and the American government is Makbid, then in all official documents you have to write how many years it is since 1776, since Hakamas HaMedina. So the Mishnah says, Mishum Shloim Malchus, if you'll write a document, a get, and you won't write how many years it is since Osa Malchus, so the Gemara says the get is possible in the Rabban. The Mishnah says they possible the get in the Rabban. Tais says, yes, the Kasha, how come we no longer do it? The Tais says, because the French government couldn't care less. Do whatever you want. They don't ask us, they don't bother us about our get, and they couldn't care less. That they don't care, so they said, there's no takana the Rabban. But if you do care, so the Mishnah says, Mishum Shlom Malchus, you have to write how many years it is since Hakamas Os HaMedina. So the Mishnah records in the beginning of Maseches Rosh Hashanah that by Malchei Yisrael, when it comes Echad Benissen, so then it's already considered the next year. Rosh Hashanah LeMalchei Yisrael is Echad Benissen. And by Malchei Yom HaSoilem and the Goyish government, so the Rosh Hashanah is Echad B'Tishrei. So the run on the Rif on that Gemara, the first Daf Aleph in the Rif, on Masechta Rosh Hashanah, the Ram points out that this is not stam a minig, that the conventional practice in the days of the Tanaim, this is a din. It says, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodoshim, Rishon Lechul Lachem L'Chodesh Hashanah, that Al Pi Din, Nisan is the Rosh Hashanah for Jewish history. What is the reasoning behind the din? What's the logic behind the Dafket to be different from Mumas HaOlam? So the Netziv in his Bior and Chumash in the Haimik Dover, on that pasuk, Achodesh Alachem Rosh Chodesh, and Parshas Boy. So the Netziv says, because when the Ribbono Shel Olam created the whole world in Tishrei, so he set up in Sheshes Mei Bereishis all of the rules of nature. So the rules of nature include rules of chemistry and physics and biology and mathematics and so on. And also, the rules of nature also include the principles of history, how history should unfold. So all of Goyish history is governed by the rules of Sheshes Mei Bereishis, said the Rosh Hashanah for history of the world is Echad B'Tishrei, when the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world. As opposed to Jewish history, Ein Mazel Yisrael, so Jewish history is L'mayla Men HaTeva. So the month of Nisan was Nikva as the Chodesh HaNisan, the Chodesh HaGula, the Chodesh of Hanhogav L'mayla Men HaTeva. So since all of Jewish history is L'mayla Men HaTeva, Ein Mazel Yisrael, so that's why the Halacha says that Rosh Hashanah L'malchi Yisrael is Echad B'Nisan. That it's a mitzvah, it's not stam a convention, that was the practice, bizman atanoim. The Mishnah says in Rosh Hashanah that was the din. Many people like to write on wedding invitations or by mitzvah invitations, how many years it is since Hakamas HaMedina. So it's accurate until it comes Rosh Chodesh Nissan. Then from Rosh Chodesh Nissan till Heir, they're still counting last year's number. So that's a violation of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says you don't count till Heir. When it comes Echad B'Nissan, it's considered the next year. So if anybody's getting married, becoming bar mitzvah between Rosh Chodesh Nissan and Heir, he should change the date. So the Ramban HaChumash has this several times. He points out this is by him, this is one of the Kori HaEmunah, one of the principles of our faith, that the history of the Jewish people is L'mayla Min HaTeva. He says, does it make sense? The Derech HaTeva, that if you observe Shemitah, you'll stay in Eretz Yisrael, and if you violate Shemitah, the land will be taken away from you. The Derech HaTeva doesn't make any sense at all. Everything in the Chumash is L'mayla Min HaTeva. Everything is L'mayla Min HaTeva. That's what we assume. We have a minig based on that. The Ramon Shulchan Aruch quotes a minig based on that pasuk. That if a girl gets married at a young age and they're interested in having children, so then you have them walk out of the house and they get married tachas kippus arekia to invoke the blessing that the Rabbanu Shalom gave to Avraham Avinu kol yezarecha, like the stars of the sky. If a woman is an almana, she's 75 years old, and she's getting married for the second time, he's not interested in having any babies, so then it says she gets married inside. You don't get married outside. But when a girl is young, she wants to be blessed with babies. So there was a very old minig. In fact, some Acharenim claim that the minig appears in the Talmud Yerushalmi. Because Yerushalmi says the difference between an almana who's getting married as opposed to a psula. So Yerushalmi says, by an almana, the chuppah is not kaina. You have to have bia later on. And by psula, the chuppah is kaina. Taisis in Yuma, Daf Yud Aleph, quotes that Yerushalmi. It doesn't make any sense. Why is there a difference between the chuppah of an almana as opposed to the chuppah of a psula? So several achrenim, Lorm Pshat and Yerushalmi, the almana means almana is 65 years old when she's getting married. So she gets married inside. And the chuppah of the psula means a young girl. She's getting married for the first time, so she's going to get married outside. So the chuppah that's outside is a valid chuppah. The chuppah that's inside is not kaina. So by us, we usually do a chuppah inside. So by us, even the chuppah of the psula wouldn't be kaina, according to this interpretation. And they give a whole pshat why the chuppah is only kaina if it's outside, not inside, because if you have a room that has walls around it, the whole room, the walls around the whole room swallow up everything in the room. It's all one rishus. So if you put a chuppah, this is the premise of this interpretation, a chuppah is kaina nisuin, because it's called hachnosa l'rishusa, because the chuppah constitutes a cheder b'fnei atzma. It's considered a mokam yuchad b'fnei atzma, because the structure of the chuppah corresponds to a tzuras ha-pesach in Hilchos Shabbos. So that's considered a separate room. How can you consider it a separate room? A room inside a room. A room next to another room, so you can't say one room swallows up the other room, but if you have a room inside a room, and the outer walls completely enclose everything in the room, including the whole, so everything is swallowed up by the outer walls. So if you have a chuppah outside in the street, sometimes you can have the chuppah outside in the street in the backyard, in the courtyard. That's also mukaf with mechitzas. So it would also be like a chuppah inside. Also wouldn't be kaina, according to this interpretation. Rav Chaim Volozhin doesn't like this. He says that the opshat is ridiculous. He makes fun of it. But there were gedolim who thought that that was pshat in Yerushalmi. They understood that Yerushalmi had this meaning, that when a girl gets married at a young age and she wants to be blessed with children, that the meaning would be that there was shtel chuppah outside. And when an almana means a 75-year-old almana is remarrying, she's not interested in having children, so then they would have the chuppah inside.
Sometimes Yerushalmi, they didn't have the chuppah like we do with a canopy on hold. Wasn't that the chuppah?
The Pashto says that they did not have it. So the Pashto says that this is not pshat in Yerushalmi. Yeah, that's Rav Chaim Volozhin, he laughs at the whole thing. But there were other gedolim who thought that that's what the Yerushalmi was talking about, this kind of a chuppah. Pashat pshat was that this chuppah was instituted in the Middle Ages, in the days of the Rishonim. Yeah. The Rebbeinu Shlom promises Avraham Avinu, "Lezarecha etein es ha'aretz hazos," keeps on repeating. "Lezarecha etein es ha'aretz hazos." The Tosfos in Yevamos points out in the second parak, there's a difference between the word zera and bein in biblical Hebrew. Zera means like a seed. If you have an apple and you have the seeds left over, so if you plant the seeds, you'll get another apple tree. And then you get seeds from those apples. You plant those seeds, you get another apple tree. You can't plant seeds from an apple and get an orange tree. So zera, when you talk about zaracha, it automatically includes zera zaroi, atzoif kol adoris, and it's assumed that it's only if it's similar to the original one. Zera kosher, not zera pasul. Zera means it's a seed that's going to make the same kind of apples as the original apples. As opposed to bain, unless you have a reboot to mimarba that b'nei bonim are included, so bain, strictly speaking, only means a son, a child. That doesn't necessarily include grandchildren. Sometimes you have a ribui that even grandchildren, but without a ribui, Bain will not automatically include Bnei Bonim. Zera will, and Bain even includes Bain Pasel. Zera, unless you have a ribui, will only apply to Zera Kosh and not to Zera Pasel. So that's what over here, the psukim seem to say that Eretz Yisrael belongs to Zera Avraham, means to those who follow in the footsteps of Avraham Avinu, those descendants of his who keep all the mitzvahs. If you have a Jew who's anti-religious, he doesn't keep any mitzvahs. He doesn't belong in Eretz Yisrael. He's not one of the Balabatim in Eretz Yisrael. Maybe he's Mibnei Banam Shal Avraham Avinu, but he's not Zera Avraham. It says in Choresim Abis, it says Zara Achra. It always says the Zera Avraham. It's always given to the Zera Avraham, not to the Bnei Avraham. Zera Avraham means those who follow in their footsteps. One of the Meshugan Kumenis from Iran said 20 years ago, yeah, he believes in the Bible. Israel belongs to the Jewish people. Those people are not Jewish. They eat chazan. He's right. Those who eat chazan, those Machal Shabbos, don't belong in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael belongs to the Jewish people who are Zera Avraham. Avraham Avinu was approaching Eretz Mitzrayim when he left Eretz Yisrael. He's afraid that his wife is so good looking that he may kill him in order to take his wife away. So he decided he's going to have to have a plan in order to remain alive. He's going to tell a lie and say that they're brother and sister, they're not husband and wife. So the Medrash says, you see from this pasuk that pikuach nefesh is decha isurim, that under normal circumstances it's not proper to tell lies, to go around and tell lies. The Gemara says that sheris yisrael lo yasav lo lo yedabur kozo, Jewish people don't tell lies. That under the circumstances, they're going to kill me. So pikuach nefesh is decha. That's the Medrash on the pasuk. Mikan you learn out that pikuach nefesh is decha isurim. The Rosh in the end of Yuma has a discussion, and the Yisugi appears in the end of Yuma, that Pikuach Nefesh Dech, the Mishnah is in the end of Yuma, that one is a Chayla on Yom Kippur, is allowed to eat, if you're afraid he's going to lose his life. And Hu Adinami Masech Shabbos, the Gemara says that when you deliver a baby, sometimes you have to be Michal Shabbos, and so on. So Pikuach Nefesh is Dech, Shabbos Dech, Kolatar Kula. So the Rosh in the end of Yuma discusses a little bit the topic, so he quotes one opinion. There is a famous dispute by what is the nature of the heter of pikuach nefesh? Is it duchuyo or is it hutrum? What's the difference in definition? So Rashi in Brachas and Daf Chav gives you the definition that hutrum means, let's say for our purposes, when the din of Shabbos was given, from the very outset, the Rabban Shalom told us the din of Shabbos, and he said, but if there's a sakonis nefashis involved, so the din was never given in the first place. It doesn't apply at all. That's the Rashi on Chof and Aleph, and Brochas gives you the difference in definition between the Chuya and Hutra. So he says that Hutra means Melechatchila, when the mitzvah was given, it never was intended to apply in this case. And Hutra means no, the mitzvah originally, the din of Shabbos was given Stoma. Then at some other time, the Rabban Shalom told us, but if there's a conflict between saving someone's life and the observance of Shabbos, so Pikoch Nefesh is Decha Kalatarkud. So that's a famous machlokes. What's the nature of the heter of pikuach nefesh? Is it hutra or dechuya? The Rambam writes the second perek in Hilchos Shabbos, and the Rambam, every perek in the Rambam starts off with big letters. That's how the printers made it. So the first word in the big letters in the second perek in Hilchos Shabbos is dechuya hi Shabbos etzis hakanas nefashis gishar kol hamitzvah. So he writes dechuya, big letters. So that's the question, does he really mean dechuya? He means dechuya as opposed to hutra? Oh no, he means that it's mutter. Did the Rambam really mean to take a stand on this issue, dechuya as opposed to hutra? The discussion doesn't appear in the Gemara, the discussion appears in the Rishayim. The Kesef Mishnah quotes the Tshuvas HaRashbo, quotes HaRashbo, that the Rambam meant it, dechuya, as opposed to hutra. And what is the mocker? Where did the Rambam get it from? So he says, "Well, the Gemara in Yuma Davov has a machlekes Tanoim v'machlekes Amoraim regarding tumah as muta betzibur. Korbanos sibushes manam kavua, korban shes manam kavua may be brought even in the state of tuma. You're not allowed to bring korbanos in the state of tuma, unless it's a korban shes manam kavua. So that's called tuma hutru bet sibum. The Gemara has a machlekes, but it's hutru dechuya. So there, the maskana happens to be that we pass in dechuya. So the Kesef Mishnah quotes the Rashba that that's the makar of the Rambam. Since the Gemara says dechuya there, so it's dechuya over here. Why is it necessarily totally zevzes? Totally unrelated. Life is full of conflicts, and you always, the halacha has to tell you what the din is, and the Torah has to tell you what the din when you're faced with a conflict. All day long, we're always making decisions, always conflicts. Should I do this or should I do that? I have many things to do. You always have a conflict. So just because one case is the chuya, it means in all cases of conflict, then A takes precedence over B. So it's always the chuya. It's never utra. Why should you say like that? It's not true. The Gemara says that this machleik is whether chuya. Tuma hutcha b'tziba, tuma t'chui b'tziba is only by tuma. Let's say korbanos that you makar van Shabbos, korban shizmana kavu is mutar on Shabbos. The Gemara said b'ferish in Yuma that that's hutra, that's not the chuya. So it's not true that whenever you have a conflict between two mitzvahs and one takes precedence over the other, it's always the chuya. The Gemara itself in the same sechta says, and it's the same din, korban shizmana kavua is lecha Shabbos lecha tuma. So lecha Shabbos is hutra, not the chuya. Decha tum is the chuya. The same din. Kabbish is mana kavua. Decha Shabbos, the Gemara says, is hutra, and decha tum is the chuya. So how can you infer from there that pikuach nefesh is the chuya? It's a difficult idea. Where the Mishnah quotes from the Rashba is very difficult. It's not clear that the Rama meant to take a stand on that topic when he writes the chuya hiya Shabbos. He's not talking about chuya versus hutra. Just means that it's mutter to be mechal Shabbos. What's an afkemina halacha lemaisa? Whether pikuach nefesh on Shabbos is dechuya hutra, so the difference is like this. Let's say someone is deathly sick and you have to go to the hospital. So either I can go to the hospital, I'll drive the person to the hospital, a Jew, or we'll ask a non-Jew to take the person to the hospital. So we will lower the level of the yisr. So if you should assume that the nature of the heter is that it's dechuya, so then the Gemara says you should epshel lekayim shneim whenever it's possible to avoid violation of the aveira. So then you should do so. But if it's hutra, it means that's heter gomer. You don't even have to try to avoid it. That is hutra, right? Exactly. That is hutra. The Gemara says you should dafka, or you can interpret that differently. The Gemara says, if you have an option of asking a non-Jew to do the Chilul Shabbos or having a Jew do it, the Gemara says you shouldn't look for a non-Jew because people will think it may be a mikshal next time. Maybe because people will think that you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos yourself, and next time someone may be deathly sick and there won't be a non-Jew available, so then you let him die. So we're afraid of a mikshal in the future, so maybe that's why you insist that you should have Alidei Zekudor Yisro V'Chachamim. That's the question. How do you read that Gemara? Is the Gemara mean to say that it's a concern for the future? That means no. That is hutra hetagama. It's right now it's hutra hetagama. So this is a big machlekes in the Rishon. You have to try to avoid, you have to try to minimize the Chilul Shabbos on that. So the Rosh makes a suggestion at the end of Yuma. He says maybe pikuach nefesh is sometimes dechuya, sometimes doich, and sometimes matir. Maybe it depends whether it's an Issa Chepta or an Issa Garret. That's what it sounds like the Rosh is driving at. He wants to distinguish between Chilul Shabbos and eating the Vela. He wants to say that by eating the Vela, that's an Issa Chepta, which is questionable if that's correct. That's a Shaila and Yeridei, whether eating the Vela is Issa Chepta or Issa Garret. So the Rosh makes such a proposal. Maybe eating Macholos Asuras is an Issa Chepta. So that, you have to say, is the Chuya. How can you say hutra? The nevela is nevela, has properties of nevela. Hashemi came to Nisa Gavre, so that maybe you can say that that's hutra. And he says, if you have a choice, you have to save someone's life by giving him meat on Shabbos. So you have an option of either getting non-kosher meat, giving him non-kosher meat, feeding him nevela, having a Jew shecht the beime on Shabbos, so he won't, the choyla won't be in violation of nevela, but somebody will be in violation of Chilul Shabbos. So the Gemara says, we shecht for the chayla on Shabbos as opposed to giving him the vela. Why? Chilul Shabbos is kares. The vela is only halal. So the Rosh quotes one opinion because Chilul Shabbos is only nisa gavre. So pikuach nefesh with respect to nisa gavre would be matter it, it would be hutra. Hashem gave with respect and avela, that's an isa chefza, questionable, that's an isa chefza, he's assuming. So therefore, pikuach nefesh can't be matter it, the maximum he can say is that it's deicha. So if one is hutra, one is tchuyah, so it's better to, the hetra of hutra is better than the hetra of tchuyah. Different opinions, what's the nature of the heter of the kula pikuach nefesh? But the Medrash says it's learned out from this pasuk, the kula pikuach nefesh. Then the Torah describes after the split between Lot and Avram, the Royim couldn't get along. So they decided to divide, to separate, and Lot decided to move into Sodom. And the Torah seems to be condemning Lot for that decision. He wants to strike it rich. Vayaris kol kikar hayaden kicholom ashkeh lefnei shacheis Hashem esdom amar. He didn't know that the whole he's going to lose all of his money. Right now everything is glittering. Everything, you can make millions over there. So he's prepared to give up the whole religion. Where's he going to get any Yiddish guy? He's only going to have Yiddish guy who's going to hang around with Avraham Avinu. So it says vayisa Lot mikedem. The Rashi quotes the Medrash as an additional interpretation. Vayisalot mikedem, he decided to give up kadmona shalolam. Decided to give up God and Judaism. And he wants to make money. We should all be careful in making a decision where you're going to live. When you get married, you have to decide where you're going to live. So you should live in a religious neighborhood. The Torah mitzvahs need chizuk. You have to have support. A person can't live all by himself as a shema mitzvah, as a oisik b'torah v'mitzvahs. You have to move into a neighborhood where there are other people oisik b'torah mitzvahs. So here, Lot thought he's going to get rich. He became very wealthy originally, and then he lost all of his wealth when the Rabban Shalom destroyed all the cities. That's how it's described. Vayaris kol kikar hayaden kicholom ashkeh. That's the place to make money. Lifnei shacheis Hashem is demam. Before the Rabban Shalom destroyed the city. Why were the cities destroyed? It says, Anchi stam roi v'chatoim Hashem yod. They were terrible sinners. Later, the Chumash is going to tell us that God had to destroy the whole city. You have the famous story about the Vilna Goyen, that people were pestering him a lot. So he asked them, do me a favor, I can't attend all the meetings, I can't take care of everything. He wanted to sit and learn. He said they should only invite him to come to a meeting if they want to make a new takana. But if they want to figure out what the old dinim policies is, so they shouldn't involve him. So they once had him come to a meeting and they were discussing a new takana. What's a new takana? They want to make the people in Vilna at that time were not so wealthy, so they want to make a takana not to allow any anim mechutz la'ir to shnora money. They wouldn't allow any shnoras because the anim, the local anim, needed all the parnas. So the Vilna Goyen was upset. He said, why did you invite me to the meeting? This is an old takana already. He said, you should only invite me to come if you make a new takana. So he said, what's the old takana? He said, it's a takana for Nevad Arba Rotzis. Nevad Arba Rotzis was in the days of the Marsha and the Ramor and the Sma. Nevad Arba Rotzis was Poland and Poland Cotton and Litter. They were four countries that were near each other. They used to have all of the Maram and Lublin, all the Rabbonim would get together every year and make takanas for the Nevad Arba Rotzis. So he said, Nevad Arba Rotzis make such a takana, they never heard of it. He said, yes, don't buy more Admon Tzvoyim. The Nevad Arba Rotzis made a takana not to let Anim come in. He said, that's not a proper takon. You have to cough up more money for the anim. Anyway, that's where Lloyd decided. He decided to move into the Arba Rotzis, the five towns. Zohar was the fifth one. There were five. Zohar was the fifth one. So the pasuk tells the story. There was a war between the four kings and the five kings. Kedor lo'omer is a non-Jewish king. He's mentioned in the Chumash over here. So he has honorable mention in Ebenezer, in Hilchas Gittin. The Ramah says in Hilchas Gittin that, a man is divorcing his wife, and his name is Yankiv Ruvin, and her name is Leah Esther. So he says you have to have the both names Yankiv Ruvin on the same line, and Leah Esther has to be on the same line. Because the Gemara says, he says, if the guy's name is Kedor Loimer, the Ramah writes. If the husband's name or the father's name is Kedor Loimer, whose name is Kedor Loimer? So he says, you have to write Kedor Loimer on one line. That's a Gemara in Chulin, in Eretz Yisrael. So from the simple reading of the Gemara, it would appear that Bismana Gemara, they wrote Gedor Loim has two different words with a space in between. We don't follow that Gemara. We follow the Masora. There are conflicts between the Masora as we follow it, we write our Sefer Torah, and the way it says in the Gemara, Rabbi Kivega, in one place in Masechah Shabbos, gives you a whole list of all the places where there's a contradiction. It's a major problem. What's the correct reading supposed to be? So the Gemara says his name was Kedor Loimer. Kedor Loimer. The Gemara seems to assume it was two words, and the two words have to be on one line because it's one name. You have so that's what the Ramah quotes La Halacha like that. Even though we write it in one word, but since in the Gemara it sounds like they wrote it as two words, the Gemara says it has to be written on one line. So Hu Adinami, if the person's name is Yankiv Reuven or whatever, Yankiv Israel, so you should write it on one line. You have other places in Chumash. You have Matrei Bas Mezahov. Or you have the name of the city is Beisel. So when you're writing a Sefer Torah, you should probably have Beisel on one line. That's the name of the city. Someone told me that fellow's much older than me. So he told me he learned in Yeshiva, he got smicha, now he's a professor of mathematics for many years. So he tells me one of his chaverim got married, and Rav Soloveitchik attended the wedding, so they wrote filled out the ksuba, and he wasn't paying attention, so he wrote the name on two different lines. Yankiv Yisrael, whatever, so he wrote one on one line, one on the other line. So there was another Rav there, so he told him that in Ebenezer, the Ramo writes in Hilchos Gittin, he doesn't write in Hilchos Ksubas, writes in Hilchos Gittin, you have to write it on one line. So he said Rav Soloveitchik was always Maidah Lev, so he was the first one. So he took the ksuba, he ripped it up in front of everybody, said, you can't use this ksuba, the Rav says, it says in Shulchan Aruch, and they had to rewrite it all by hand. We only had one printed text, so they had to rewrite the whole thing. So he, this chaver of his, he took the ksuba that the Rav had ripped up, and he taped it together, and he gave it to him, to the chassan, as a maskeret. You should have the pasul ksuba, not pasul. You should have the ksuba that the Rav had filled in. The Pischei Tshuva in Yeridei in Hilchos Sefer Torah has a whole arichas about this, about like Mezahov, or other names of cities and names of people in Chumash, where it's more than let's say a person's name is Basheva. So Basheva itself is a shaila, where they're supposed to write it with the space in between. Is it like Elisheva is one name? So Basheva is two words, and you write it with in Tanakh. When you write Basheva, do you write it with the space in between without a space? So the quote from the Vilna Gaon arrived from the Gemara in the second parak in Sanhedrin, that Basheva is spelled without a space. Because the Gemara has a pasuk from Sefer Shmuel that the Gemara says a reason why there are 13 words in that pasuk. That David HaMelech, even though he was an old man, he was boal Yud Gimel Be'ilos. He was boal Basheva that day. So you look in the pasuk, there are 14 words. Where the Gemara have only had 13 words. So the Vilna Gaon says, you see from the Gemara, that they were assuming that Basheva is one word. It's not spelled as two words. And Ebenezer and Hilchos Gittin, they write the Machloikas, but it's supposed to be written as one word or two words. So the practice is that you put a half a space in between Basheva. Or Ben Sion, also Machloikas, but they write Ben Sion with a final nun and a space, and then you write Sion and have a grandson by the name Ben Sion. Or you write it the Ben Sion base nun tzadik yud vav nun with a small nun. Is it written as one word, written as two words? So I think there the meaning also is you write with a long nun and you only write, you leave a half a space. Leave a half a space in between Ben and Sion. So Ben Sion, that should not be written on two lines. Yeah. Aryoch Melech Halas, also a non-Jewish name. They used to refer to Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel, the Chaver, they used to refer to Shmuel as Aryoch, the Loshen Kovid. What's about Loshen Kovid? Hey Jack. It's a Goyish name. What kind of Aryoch? So Rashi, I think, writes in one place because Shmuel, the Gemara says, Halacha ki Rabbi Yisur, Halacha ki Shmuel bedinim. So in Didim Amunis, we passing like Shmuel. So that's because Dina de Machlus Adina, that Shmuel was like a Melech. So we passing like him and Dinim. So that's why we call him by the name of a Melech. Aryoch Melech, he was the king. Dina the Mahusa, but El Asa, not in Isurim. Al Asa. You pass like Rav in Isurim. For whatever reason, that's why Rashi, I think, says that. The Aruch on the side of the Gemara, someone points that out. For whatever reason, the Gemara has, I don't think they ever called anybody in the Talmud Kedar Lo Aymar, but Aryoch they did. They used to refer to Shmuel as Aryoch. Arech Melech Alasa. It's a funny lashon. The Torah writes the whole story about the war to tell us that they're not allowed to sit back. If my cousin is held in captivity, and they may kill him, so I have an obligation to go do something to save him. I'm not allowed to sit back and say, well, it's the Ribbono Shel Olam's world, so let him take care of it. No, if you see evil, you have to... within reason. Look, the American government steps in Iran. They stepped in so many places. You have to be able to win the war. You can't fight on all fronts if you're going to lose all the battles. You have to have too much to handle. But if it's within reason, if there's some there's something that's unjust being perpetrated on people, and you have the ability to fight against it, so you have the obligation to fight. The Torah describes that Avraham Avinu did that. He did the right thing. The Gemara says that he did wrong. He drafted Talmid HaChamim. So the Gemara says in the Darim that Avraham Avinu was punished. The Gemara has one opinion in the Darim that that was a punishment because he drafted Talmid HaChamim into his army. He should have taken the non-learners. He had enough people who are not into learning. If you have enough people in the country to fill a whole army without Talmid HaChacham, so then you're not supposed to take Talmid HaChacham. If you won't dress down Talmid HaChacham, you won't have an army. So there's nothing to discuss. Of course you take Talmid HaChacham. This is a priority. It's a principle of priority. You're not supposed to draft Talmid HaChacham. There is no such thing that you don't draft Bnei Yeshivas. Not every Ben Yeshiva is a Talmid HaChacham. It depends how well he does on exams. If he gets hundreds on Chinas, so he's a Talmid HaChacham. Okay. If he's doing poorly, he's a Ben Yeshiva. He's not a Talmid HaChacham. But Talmid HaChacham, you're not allowed to draft in the army. So Avraham Avinu was successful in the battle. He saved. It's Dikwas Atzarek, the Yeshivas HaRosha. He saved Lot and he saved all of the people. So Melech Sholem, Malki Tzedek Melech Sholem, gave a bracha to Avram. Baruch Avram the Kel Elyon. Incarnation mind Baruch to Baruch Kel Elyon Hashem Yigen Tzarecha Biyodecha. He gave a bracha to Avram Avinu that he did such a wonderful thing that he stepped in over here. The Gemara condemns, also the Gemara in the Darm condemns Malki Tzedek because of the fact that Higdim Birchas Eved LeBirchas Kono. First he says Baruch Avram LeKel Elyon, then he says Baruch Kel Elyon. He should have said the reverse. First, you should have said Baruch Kel Elyon, blessed be the Ribbono Shel Olam that he gave you Hatzlocha in the war, and blessed be you that you volunteered to wage war over here. The Gemara says that it's not proper to be magdim Birchas Eved leBirchas Rabbi. So that's the mashmos of the pasuk that originally there was a while that Malkin Tzedek Melech Shalom was Hu Kohen LeKel Elyon. He used to be a Kohen, only Hu Kohen Vein Benot Kohen. His children were not Kohanim. That's the mashmos of Hu Kohen. Hu Kohen Vein Benot Kohen. So why did he lose the kahuna? How come it didn't pass on to his descendants? Because of this impropriety that he did. Because Higdim Birchas Eved LeBirchas Rabbi, that's why he lost the kahuna. There's a tshuva from Ablaizer Telzer, Ablaizer Gordon, where he has a following shayla. When you have, let's say you write a ksuba, you write a get, so the husband is a kohen. So you write Plani ben Plani HaKohen. Or the husband is a levi, you write Plani ben Plani HaLevi. So when you write HaKohen after the father's name, it doesn't necessarily imply that the son is a kohen. It's possible that the father married a grusha, and the father is a kohen, the son is a chavo. So that's why some have the practice, you write Plani HaKohen ben Plani. If the son is a kohen, obviously the father is a kohen also. You don't have to write Plani HaKohen ben Plani HaKohen. It can't be a kohen yeshmei, it can't be a kohen from the mother's side. I mean, he's a kohen from the father's side. But our practice is we write Plani ben Plani HaKohen. So what if Tataka, the son, is a chavo? So you write the same way, Plani ben Plani HaKohen. It's a little bit misleading. You may think that the son is a kohen and he really isn't. So that's what Blazer tells it has in his choice. He says he's right, Plani ben Plani Hu Kohen. Means Hu Kohen Vein Benot Kohen. That's what the Gemara comments in the Dharma on this passage. Hu Kohen LeKel Elyon. Hu Kohen has the connotation Hu Kohen Vein Benot Kohen. It's based on this Gemara, based on this comment the Gemara makes on the pasuk, that the Achrayim developed the whole midas chasiyah, zehiris, that very often when people wishing each other l'chaim, So they fill up a cup of schnapps, a cup of wine, whatever, and say l'chaim, 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 mazel tov, and everything, and then they say a bracha, shakol mibadvar, bar piagof, and then they drink it. So they say that it's not right. You're being mocked in birchas ebet, the birchas rabbi. You say l'chaim, that's a bracha to a hedyot, the dombas of a dom. Then you say the bar piagof, and the shakol on the schnapps, that's a bracha to the rabbanu shalom. So you should do the reverse. You should first say the bracha, And then say the l'chaim later on. So I remember here years ago there was one balabas made. There was a group of balabatim who were learning Masechah Shabbos. It took them 11 years, I think. They learned together once every week. Took forever. So they finished Masechah Shabbos. So they had a big suda, and they invited me. I was one of the rabbanim that they invited. So they had champagne. They covered the occasion. They had champagne, and then they were saying l'chaim l'chaim al-dam, al-dam, and said bar piagofen. So there used to be a rabbi in the neighborhood, Rabbi Glucksman. He passed away a couple of years ago, so he corrected him and he said, no, you don't say first l'chaim and then say bar piagofen. He said over the Gemara, the Kalachaim quotes all of this, first you say bar piagofen and then you say l'chaim. So the next balabas said, oh, I understand. So he says bar piagofen, l'chaim l'chaim l'chaim. And he says, no, that's a hepsik. You say bar piagofen and you drink it. And then after you take a sip, then you say l'chaim. So he had charata that he told them the whole thing in the first place. He made him make a bigger mistake. Anyway, that's what the Kaf HaChaim quotes this. That's who Pesach Frank quotes this. This is a hiris based on this Gemara. You shouldn't be magd in birchas eved lebirchas rabbi. Avraham Avinu did a kiddush Hashem that he refused to take anything. He said he's not going to take nichut batzrach now. He's going to give everything back. He's not interested in the booty of war. So the Gemara says in Soita that because of the fact that he did this Kiddush Hashem, Bishkar, here the Torah Tmimah quotes it. Bishkar Shomar Avram Avinu Mechut Vatzvech Nal Zochot Bon of the Shtei Mitzvahs Lechut Shal Tcheles Vezechot to the Mitzvah of Tzitzis, because he said Chut, and Tzvech Nal Vezechot to the Ritzuas of Tfilin. Because if you ever saw you see, we wear shoes with shoe strings, shoe laces. But years ago, they used to have shoe straps. And the shoe straps are exactly the same as ritzuos of tefillin. When we have a chalitza shoe, we do a chalitza, so the straps on the chalitza shoe are exactly like ritzuos of tefillin. It's thin, the same size, blackened on one side, smooth, and the other side is rough, and it's white, exactly the same. So that's why the chazal saw here, Srochnal, the shoe straps, is mamash identical with the ritzuos of tefillin. So they understood that we were zechut to the mitzvah of tefillin, to the ritzuos of the tefillin, as a scar for the fact that Rav Avinu refused to take srochnal. So Rabbi Kivegan on Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Parim Yofos an interesting comment that the Gemara records a minig from the days of the Tanoim. Gemara Masech Shabbos in the first pair quotes a brisa that they had a minig when you get dressed in the morning. So you first put on your right shoe, then you put on the left shoe, and then you tie the left shoe first, then you tie the right shoe afterwards. Why do you put on the right shoe first? Why do you do everything? You wash the right side of your body first. You take care of the right first, because the Kohanim and the Beis HaMikdash always do the avodah with the right hand. So we want to demonstrate, b'chol derachecha do'ehu, the Rambam has a whole arichas, that everything we do all day long should be avodah Hashem. Now that we split our day, we divide the day into half. That we do some things that are mitzvahs and the rest of the day is dvar hashus. Everything we do should be to be marbek v'od shemayim ba'olam. We should take care of our business with honesty. A person should do a kiddush Hashem in all of life. He should do everything properly, act like a mensch, even when he gets dressed, when he takes a shower, when he eats, when he sleeps, everything should be there with derech eretz. He's fulfilling a mitzvah, leading a life as a normal Jew, as a proper human being, as a normal Jew. That's a mitzvah, so we try to do whenever there's right and left, so we do everything with the right hand like it's Avodas Hashem. The Rambam quotes that pasuk, "Bechol derachecha do'ehu," as if all his daily activities, achil, shtiyah, shina, parnasa, everything is part of Avodas Hashem. But when it comes to tying the shoelace, we should tie the left shoelace first. Why? Because when it comes to the shoelace, shoelace is similar to the ritzuos of tefillin, and by tefillin, we tie the tefillin on the left side. Most people tie the tefillin on the left side, they don't tie the tefillin on the right side. So why is there a connection between shoelaces and tefillin? So that's where Rabbi Kivege quotes from the Panim Yofos. It's based on this tradition that the Chachamim had. This minig, that when it comes to tying the shoelaces, you tie the left shoelace shoe strap first, and then the right shoe strap, is because it was in the schus of Avraham Avinu's refusal to take a srochnal, a shoe strap, that we bezeichet to the mitzvah of tefillin. So therefore, when it comes to shoelaces, shoe straps, the left side of the body is more important than the right side. That's what he quotes at Panim Yafis. Panim Yafis wasn't so much before his time. Panim Yafis is by the Hafla. A little old, a little before him. So the Rabbanu Shalom promised Avraham Avinu already he's going to have children and he's going to give him Eretz Yisrael. Zarecha etenis Eretz Hazos. Vayivin Sham Mizbeach. Rashi says, why did Vayivin Sham Mizbeach? Al Besuras HaBanim Al Besuras HaOretz. Rabbanu Shalom told him two chidushim. Zarecha etenis Eretz Hazos. You're going to have children. Even though B'derech HaTeva looked like Sarai Akara. They were married for so long. They didn't have any children. He didn't think he's going to be able to have children. Rabbanu Shalom told him, don't worry, you're going to have children and Eretz Yisrael will belong to your children. So now Avraham Avinu, the Rebbeinu Shalom says, Chorcha harbim yotir. So he says to Rebbeinu Shalom, I matitin levenecha olach hariri, you have no children. So he didn't have bitochen in the Rebbeinu Shalom. Pashup Shat, that's the Pashup Shat. He's asking the Rebbeinu Shalom to fulfill his promise. He promised me you're going to give me children, He told me, Chorcha harbim yotir, your reward is going to be tremendous. Just keep your promise, give me the children already. That's the Pashup Shat. He says, "Vanoche holach hariri, I don't have any children." So there's an interesting interpretation in the Yalkut Shemayni. The Yalkut Shemayni has that Avraham Avinu interprets over here. It's a fascinating shot that Avraham Avinu is negotiating with the Rebbeinu Shlomo. So he said, "You promised I'm going to give me children. What kind of children are they going to be? Are they going to be Yirei Shamayim? If they're not going to be Yirei Shamayim, I would rather be Vanoche holach hariri. Don't do me any favors. I would rather not have any children." The Pashup Shat that he's asking the Rebbeinu Shalom, hey, you didn't give me, keep your promise, give me the children already, I'm getting old. The Yalkut Shemayni interprets, he's saying, don't give me any children. He's asking him, what's the nature of the children going to be? If they're not going to be Shomrei Mitzvah, they're not going to be Yerei Shamayim, I would rather be an Ohelech Hariri, B'nichusa, not B'tmir. It's a fascinating shot. And the Rebbeinu Shlomo makes the bris made up sarim, and he makes a kriis bris that he's going to give him. He's going to give him Eretz Yisrael. The Rebbeinu Shlomo made a bris with each one of the others. So Zacharti is B.C. Yaakov, Afer is B.C. Yitzchak, Afer is B.C. Avraham Eskel, Eretz Eskel. Each one of the others he made a bris. What did he have to make a bris with each one of the others for? The Pasha Pshat is that a bris, a kriis is bris with a person means that Rebbeinu Shlomo is giving him more Kedushas Yisrael. So Avraham Avinu got Kedushas Yisrael, which didn't exist until then. So Yitzchak was his son. So he got a deeper degree of Kedushas Yisrael. And Yaakov had another bris. He had more Kedushas Yisrael. That's what Rav Soloveitchik once pointed out, the Rambam in the end of Hilchas Malachim, when he gives you the history of mitzvahs, he says Adam Rishon was given six mitzvahs. Nech was given the mitzvah of not to eat Eben Achai, because Adam Rishon wasn't allowed to eat the meat. So Eben Achai was only given to Noach. And that's the way the world was running with the Sheva mitzvahs ben Noach until the days of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was given the mitzvah of Milo, Yitzchak was given the ability to be Mafresh Maisris, and Yaakov Avinu was given the mitzvah of Gidal Noshe. It's a Medrash Rabbah that the Rambam is quoting. So Rav Soloveitchik thought, what is the Medrash Rabbah driving at? Why did the Medrash have to discover that each one of the Yavis was given a mitzvah? So he thought, because of the bris, each one had a bris with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, and the bris with the Klal Yisrael means that we have mitzvahs. Kiddushanu b'mitzvahs v'tzivanu. So if the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is giving a bris to Avram, why does he have to make another bris with Yitzchak, another bris with Yankov? Must be that Yitzchak was given something additional, some additional mitzvah, and Yankov was given some additional mitzvah. That's why it makes sense that each one had a separate kriis bris. What did the kriis bris consist of? That was it, just the Sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach with the mitzvah of Milo. So at that time, the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Kuf points out it consisted also of the prohibition of intermarriage. How does the pasuk read it? Vakimosis bris b'nei b'nei chamin zarcha acharecha ledoi roisom. So the Gemara says, "Ben Zarcha Acharecha." The Gemara in Yevamos Daf Kuf on the base, "Zarcha Acharecha" means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu that his descendants are not permitted to intermarry, because if a Jewish man marries a non-Jewish woman, so the assumption is that the children will not be Jewish. That's how we pass it. It all depends on the mother.
According to the Shvatim, they married, or even Sabbi Yosef married a.
I mean, maybe they converted them. Maybe they converted. The Gemara says that there was Gerus, that they did accept Gerus. So the Gemara says that this was included in the bris, that they're not permitted to intermarry, otherwise not going to be Zarech Acharecha, not going to be Zarech Miyuchas Acharov. And they were given Eretz Yisrael. So that's what the whole religion consisted of at that time. Consisted of Zionism. You have to subscribe to the fact that Eretz Yisrael is our national homeland. We all feel that we're supposed to be living in Eretz Yisrael someday. We all plan to go back to Eretz Yisrael. Zionism, bris milah, intermarriage. And Emunah. Akmosis Brisi Bini Beinecha. Lios L'chol Elikim. That you have to believe in God. So this was the whole religion at that time. And then the Rabbi Shalom gave mitzvahs and more mitzvahs later on. That's how the Nesivis writes in his Sefer Nachlas Yaakov, commenting on the Agadate in Psochim, in Perek Mokum Shenogu. The Gemara says that in Parshas Vayechi, as Yaakov Avinu is about to die, it's a big Yaakov legalis asakeh. He tells his children, "Hiyosfer yagir lechem esashikre eschem ve'achmes ayamim." He's going to tell them when the kates is going to be, and then the stalke menu shchina. So he didn't know what to say. So he thought it must be the stalke menu shchina because the children are not roy. Why are the children not roy? They're all Jewish children. Why are they not roy to hear when the kates is going to be? He knows they all had a bris milah. He saw to it. He knew that they all married Jewish people. Knew that they were all Zionists. They all wanted to move back there. They went to Mitzrayim. Logosham. Lodish Take Logosham. They plan to go back as soon as the famine is going to be. As soon as the conditions will enable them to go back, they plan to go back. So what could it possibly be? So they thought maybe they lost their Amunah. So they say to the father, Shema Yisrael. The father's name is Yisrael. Shema Yisrael. Shema Kem Hashem Echad. We believe in one God only. So he claps his hands and he says, Baruch Shem Kvar Mechus Aliyam Echad. Wonderful. My children are 100% Jewish. So we today, we don't say Baruch Shem Kvar Mechus Aliyam Echad out loud. So why did Yaakov Avinu say it out loud? And how come we don't say? So the Nesivah says, Poshit. In the days of the Yaakov Avinu, that was the whole religion. It only consisted of 4 points. They all had a bris milah. No one was intermarried. They all were Zionists. He just didn't know whether they have a moon. So they said, Shema Yisrael, Dad, Hashem Ken Hashem Echad, we believe in monotheism. So he claps, Gevaldik, my children are 100% Jewish. So how come in the Stalka Menu Shechina? Because the Baruch Shalom doesn't want us to know when Mashiach is going to come. Not because the children are not worthy. They're worthy. But Keitz HaYamin is supposed to be Besesa, not supposed to be Begol. But later on, in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, when we have 613 mitzvahs, so we're going to be dancing from joy that a person is a Zionist, and he has a circumcision, he has a bris milah, and he's not intermarried, and he believes in monotheism. And that's the whole religion. We're not going to jump from joy and say, Baruch Shem, Pah Mechus Aliyam Avoyed. We're going to say, what happened to Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpacha? What happened to everything else? That's what the Nesivis writes. He says, in the days of Yaakov Avinu, that was the whole religion. That was the whole package deal, just the four mitzvahs. So Yaakov was excited, Baruch Shem. And later, after the days of Maimon HaSinai, so the Jewish religion consists of much more than that, so we don't jump from joy if that's all a person has. Okay. Gonna spend Shabbos in the yeshiva. I always spend Shabbos in the yeshiva. Everyone is invited to attend.